Thank you so much, Taylor, and both of you. That was just absolutely beautiful. I really appreciate that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we come to you on this 4th of July weekend, grateful that we live in a free country, aware of how many people do not. As we share our gratefulness for this blessing, help us to find ways, show us ways we can bless others who haven't been as blessed. Amen. How dare you blame me for your phone mishap? There's a vibrate mode, you know. It is somewhat my fault, I'll take that, but you'll see why in a few minutes. Gary's phone going off up front is actually a perfect way to start out. You may have noticed in the past 20 years, our culture's changed a little bit. 20 years ago, a cell phone didn't go off during a service, and we weren't using PowerPoint slides, and we didn't have a computer in every home. 20 years ago, how old was I? I was 10. Nope, we didn't even have our first computer yet. They were around, but it definitely wasn't in every home. Things are a little different. The culture today is different, and whether we like it or not, we live in it. We can't escape it. I don't know anybody here who isn't affected by culture today. I was talking to my husband about this, who has an aunt and uncle who run a small boarding school in Montana, and it's like six or seven students live in their house, and their house is half an hour from the nearest post office, and that's the town that they live near. And even they have a computer and internet and, you know, affected. You cannot escape culture today. How many of you in here have a computer at home? Raise your hands. How many in here have a cell phone? Raise your hands. How many in here have a Facebook page? Yep. We are all involved in our culture today. I want to give an example of that. I want to take a quick poll here. How many of you, if I were to use the term postmodern, would say, yes, I know what that means? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you would say, no, I have no clue what the term postmodern means? Raise your hand. How many would say, I kind of know, but I wouldn't mind a little more explanation? Okay, I want to do this poll a little differently. So I need everyone to take out their cell phones. And I left my little clicker on the pew. Just a minute, I need my slide clicker. Thank you, Miss Paula. All right. So, we're going to text our answers this time. So this is an example of what we're going to do. You see how it says 2 down here in the corner, 22333? That's the phone number you're going to text. And then on the next slide, you'll see you're going to text in your answer. So this is an example. What is your favorite color? If you were going to say red, you would text 72612. If you were to say blue, 72, okay, that's an example. Do you understand? So the phone number is 22333. And then they're going to give you a number for your response on the next slide. So let's see, does this work? So, do you know what postmodernism is? Is there a reason that slide's showing up like that? I don't know. But if you say yes, there we go. 28768 is what you say. You say no, 28770. And if you say sort of, but please explain more, 28772. I want you all to text your responses if you have it. And watch what happens. Let's see. They should be coming still. There we go. Here are your live responses. Almost 50-50 for yes and no. I mean, for no and sort of. Haven't gotten a full yes yet. Interesting. Oh, there we go. A couple of yeses. Not even giving us a percentage yet. Isn't that interesting? A little different way of doing some polling, a little postmodern example. All right. I don't have a blank slide, but we can take this down for now, Daniel, if you wouldn't help me out. I don't have a blank slide next, and I don't need to go to the next slide, and I don't want this just running while we're going. But that's it. So 48% Say, so I clearly need to do a little more explaining here. To do a quick sum up before I get into a full explanation, postmodernity is today's culture. When you look around, when you see technology, when you talk to people and you see their views and how things have changed, today's culture is technology. Today's culture is postmodern. The term comes from, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Technology has its pluses and minuses, and there are some really good examples of good technology. This week, I talked to Bailey Gillespie over at the university, because he's done a lot of research in postmodernity and in today's culture. And he was giving me an example of some of the good that the culture has brought today. Last year, his wife had to go through, I think he said it was a heart bypass surgery. Really unexpected. She's a very, those of you that know Judy Gillespie, she's young and healthy looking. I mean, just, you know, there's no reason you wouldn't expect this. Well, he goes and he meets with the surgeons, and the top heart surgeon at Loma Linda, whose name is escaping me right now, is one doing the surgery, along with a younger person who actually came through the La Sierra education program, but did 5 years at the Mayo Clinic and is now here. These two are doing the surgery together, two great surgeons. And so the older surgeon says, throughout the surgery, my assistant is going to be texting you the progress. So Bailey, sitting in the waiting room, instead of waiting for 4 hours wondering how his wife's doing, gets an update every 10 minutes. Now we're opening her up. This is what's happening. This is how it looks. This is what we're doing. Every 10 minutes, an update. So he's not sitting anxiously in the waiting room, but he feels confident. And he said to them, what if something starts to go wrong? And he said, well, we'll have a chaplain to you in 10 minutes or less. Well, I think he said almost instantly, but I happen to know the rule is 15 minutes or less, the chaplain will be there. This is, what a wonderful use of technology. You know, for those of you who have sat through surgeries not knowing what's happening with your loved ones, how wonderful to be able to have that kind of update and to feel like you're not just completely lost. Technology can also be overwhelming, and the speed with which we communicate can be incredible. And it can be, yeah. You know, last night we had a wonderful Bible study at my house, but the number of times that different ones of us were getting phone messages and texting throughout the whole thing, you know, clearly it can be distracting. And, you know, sometimes it was me getting a phone message and I had to check it and things like that. This happens, and we're not very good at turning off our phones and putting them away. Technology is one way things have changed, but with all the changes in the past 20 or so years, has come a completely different method of thinking. And that is what we call postmodern. So what is postmodern? Well, first we have to look at modernity, modern thought. For that, I will go to my next slide. Okay. So the modern culture was the culture that began at the Enlightenment, right, Martin Luther and all of that, and continued up to 20 to 40 years ago is when it started to kind of become questioned. This is the period that Adventism was born into. One of the major components of the modern culture is this trust in the human mind and trust in science. Science can figure it out. Science can solve any problem that's out there. Once they figured out, you know, that the world isn't the center of the universe, that changed the whole way of thinking. There's lots of things like this that came through. And it shook Christianity to its core, the Enlightenment and the modern period did. It really shook Christianity. The trust in the human ability to solve all meant that there was no need for a God. And for Christians to come through and point out why there was still a need for a God was a major culture clash that it took a while to figure out how to work out Christianity in a modern context. If the human mind can figure it out and science can solve everything, then there's no need for God. And this was a struggle for Christianity to come through. Everything was very rational and logical. There has to be a rational and logical reason for everything. And those are words that we associate very positively. You know, got to be rational, has to be logical. But originally for Christianity did not rely on ration or logicalness. This is what the church says. It must go. And so it was a very different thing for Christianity to come through. And I'll get to this later, but that mindset is what Adventism was born into, and we did a great job being rational and logical about the Bible. And we won a number of people because of that approach. The modern mindset is still the majority in Adventism. And there's a lot of good in the modern mindset. We were talking about it in Sabbath School today, about how deep into the Bible Adventists have gone beyond other denominations, because we want to be the most thought out, the most rational, the most logical of the denominations. This has been a very important aspect of Adventism, and we've done a good job at that. And a number of people join our church because we make sense, and we're willing to look at the parts that seem to conflict and dig through them and figure out what makes the most sense and be a logical church, that we don't just say, you know, to every question that comes up, oh, well, this is how it's always believed. You know, you have to have faith that God will figure it out. We try to figure out what the Bible truly says. And that's a wonderful aspect of Adventism, that's a very modern mindset. So, however, with that modern mindset came some negatives. With the idea that science can solve all and that the human mind is above all, out of that is what happened in the 20th century. So many bad things with the Holocaust, with the atomic bomb, with a lot of the subjugation of different social groups. It was the survival of the fittest and all of that. And there was a lot of negatives, a lot of people killed, a lot of societies put down. And postmodern thought, post being after modern, came kind of as a reaction to that. Now, it's still unclear if postmodernity is going to be the next thing or if it's a process towards the next thing. Does that make sense? So, yeah, it's still unclear if we're in this and this new mindset is what's going to be for the next couple hundred years, or if this is part of the change towards something. But regardless of what it is, we're in it now, and we need to look at that. So what is the reaction against this modern thought? What is some of the postmodern thoughts? They don't believe everything will continue to get better and better. We've seen that in our society. It's not that war, you know, one war didn't fix everything. The war to end all wars was not the war to end all wars. We're still in wars. Things are getting bad. There's a lot of bad things happening. We don't look at the world and think things will keep getting better and better. Now, Christians have never particularly thought that. But this is the modern thought was we can make everything get better and better. And postmoderns have said, no, that's not happening. This is one that makes us all really kind of struggle. For the postmodern who saw people come in and say, this is the way it is and this is the only way it is, they've gone and reacted against that and said, there are no absolutes. There isn't one way to do things. There's lots of ways that work. There isn't one mindset. There isn't one truth. There are different things. This is one that we very much struggle with, but it's a fact that we have to look at in postmodernity. Another one that's kind of a scary one for Adventists is that there are no meta-narratives. I know, using big words. Okay, grand stories. What's the grand story in Adventism? Salvation, wonderful, but what do we call it? What's the unique Adventism one? The great controversy. And as I heard a preacher say recently, and I really appreciated it, he didn't just call it the great controversy. He said, the great controversy between Christ and his angels and the devil and his angels. Okay, that's what the great controversy is. It's the battle between the good and the evil that we see in our church. This is our grand story that we feel encompasses all of creation. And the postmodern mind doesn't believe there is one story that encompasses all. And that's a big challenge for our church to realize that. Awareness of a global village. With the technology has come this concept that we live in a world that's affecting, that we all affect each other. Those of you that have a Facebook page, how many of you have friends that you communicate with regularly that are not in this community? Raise your hand. How many of you that have them that are out of state? How about out of country? Regularly communicate with out of country. Daily, yeah. You daily know, you know, as you've heard before, I spend a year in Australia. And I have very good friends there that for a while I get an email once every other month. Now they know and I know what's going on in our lives every day. I get to keep in touch. We live in a global village. With that comes the understanding that what I do affects other people. And that's, I think, a really good thing about postmodernism, to realize that we don't just affect ourselves. What we do affects everybody else. Truth is no longer found in specific facts, but truth is found in relationships and in the stories that have affected those people. So when they hear what's worked for somebody and they hear their story, that's truth for them. There's positives and negatives to this concept, but whether or not it's positive or negative, it's part of postmodernism. Okay, wait, let me go back for a second. Actually, I want to pull you guys again. So we're going to go back to that first slide. You know what? It won't work. I take it back. I can't do it. we have it set so you can only text once per person, so I can't go back and for that particular poll and redo that poll. I should have put it in again. But I'll do a show of hands. We'll go to the, I'll jokingly call it the old-fashioned way. How many of you feel like you have a better concept of postmodernism now that I've explained it? Okay, I'm feeling a little better. I'm going to do my best, more than often than not, call it the current culture so we don't get bogged down in terminology. The current culture is postmodern, but I just wanted to have that understanding. There's other parts. The postmodern person, is there one more? No. I meant to put one more point that's a very major point for postmodern, for the current culture. The current culture is much more open to spirituality. They've seen that science can't answer all. They've seen that there's questions out there. Quantum physics, you know, has thrown science up in the air. There's all sorts of things like that. And they're much more open to spirituality. Now, does that mean that they're open to organized religion? No, that's the hard one. But spirituality and talking about God is much easier to do with the current culture than it used to be. The generation under 40 basically knows nothing else. While modernity has filtered in, the under 40s generation is a postmodern culture. So does it matter that our church figures out what to do with this culture? First of all, I want to ask, is one better than the other? It's easy to feel like the culture that we're comfortable with is better. There are some great strengths to modernity. I like a rational, logical argument. I think that that's a wonderful thing, and I like being able to say, the Bible is it, and let's go to it. I think that's wonderful. But to not be open to learning from other people and to say that we have all the answers and nobody else does is a negative. Postmodernity also has its positives and negatives. I believe God's hand has been in every generation that has come to this world. And God's hand is also in this change to postmodernity. Is every part of it good? Absolutely not. But are there good parts? Absolutely. And we need to look at that a little bit. Why? Why do we need to look at that? We have to take part in today's culture. We already established that. You can't escape it. Part of what happens is, with any culture, and we did this with modernity, and we can do this with today's culture too, is we take some of it, but we have to decide where to get off the train. So I can take instead of saying that every other religion that's out there is completely bad, I can listen, and I can say, I can see there's a beauty in that. I heard once that in Islam, they don't believe in debt, so they will leave building projects half done to go and save up the money to continue building. How much could our American society have learned from that? To not just go into debt and go into debt and go into debt. We wouldn't be in the mess we're in today if we didn't believe so much in debt. There is beauty in that. But I'm gonna get off the train when they try and say that all religions are equal. That's where I get off the train. You know, for me, the Bible is the authority and I'm gonna continue believing that. So when we're looking at the current culture of today, we all participate in it. We have to decide what we're gonna learn from and grow from and try and change about ourselves in a positive way, and where we're gonna say, no, that doesn't work. That's not what I believe. Where are we gonna get off the train? And the one way to judge it, and I think this is really an interesting point, the one way to judge it is that it has to be judged by the biblical gospel. And here is where the culture before and the culture now, modern and postmodern, can join hands in a way that I've never heard somebody say it quite like this. But when the modern Christian decided to believe the Bible, that was where they got off the train with modernity, who said that there is no need for a God, that humans can figure it out. The modern Christian said, no, I'm going to take the Bible as the absolute authority. And when the postmodern Christian says, I'm going to take the Bible as the absolute authority, they're getting off the postmodern train and saying, I'm not going to consider all religions equal. And I think that modern and postmodern Christians can come together on this point and say, regardless of our differences of how we listen and what we learn and the ways we learn, we can all agree that it has to be judged by the Bible. And I think that's a beautiful joining point for us all. The way we look at the Bible may be very different, the way we understand the things, but we can join together in the fact that we believe in the Bible as the Word of God. And that's what we have to judge any culture by, is the Word of God. Here's the other reason it matters. Many aspects of postmodernity, of the current culture, can make us uncomfortable, and we'd really like to ignore it and continue doing things as our church has always done. Adventism started in the modern culture, and we're really comfortable doing things that way. If we can get the people in our doors, we can convince them that our way is the right way. And in a lot of cases, that has been true. But if you look around, the series, the evangelistic, the revelation seminars aren't doing what they used to do because people aren't thinking that way anymore. They'll say, sure, you're right. What does it matter to me? How does it apply to me? That's a major aspect of postmoderns. We have to speak to people. We have to speak to the culture to bring them to Christ. Christ has to apply to the culture if we're going to bring them in. We can't keep doing things the way we always have. See, what they discovered is sometimes we've wondered, you know, if it's a racial thing where the white community is the one that's not taking as much, but we can reach other communities better. But what they've done studies is it's not the race that's affected by the culture, it's how long they've lived in culture. So the second, third, and fourth generation of any Hispanics, of Asians, of anybody who's come, are leaving the church, regardless of race. So it's not a race problem, it's an indigenous problem. It's people who have been born and grown up in the United States and in the Western culture are more likely to leave the church. The Bible, well, before I get to that, I just want to say, we once again say, does it matter? We'd rather keep reaching people who think like us. And I just want to stop for a minute and beg you to reconsider how we do things. I have two little ones, and they mean the world to me. And I can't raise them outside of the postmodern culture. Rue, you know, Adam and I, it's not uncommon for us to sit in our living room watching TV, but only through our Mac Mini. We don't pay for cable. We watch TV through a computer. While Adam plays on his iPad, I have my computer, and we're texting on our iPhones. This is not an uncommon situation for Adam and I. And this is the culture our boys are in, so that Rue knows how to pick up our phone, turn it on, get to the screen that has the games that he likes, start the games, and re-go through them. He can do this with almost anything on our phone. He is being raised in a postmodern culture, even aside from that. Every one of our children here, whether we like it or not, has this mindset. Anybody under 40 is affected by this. And if you care about the children in this church, if you care about the children that are out there that you see every day, then you've got to be willing to open your mind to how we reach this next generation, if it matters to you at all. And I just want to beg you, for the sake of the kids here that I'm looking around, anybody, you know, we have to rethink this, or we are going to lose our children. And our church will die in North America. Paul, in the Bible, gives us an example, and I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 17:23, which is page 926. And this is, I'm just going to summarize for you. Paul gives an example. He's speaking to the church in Athens, and he's saying that he understands that they don't know God. They believed in lots of gods. So he takes an example from their culture. He takes this altar they have to the unknown God and explains it to them from that aspect. And in verse 23, he says, you have this altar to the unknown God. Let me tell you about the unknown God. And he enters into their culture, and he explains it to them in wording they understand. The gospel came to people in context then, and it must come to people in context now. Postmoderns who feel judged and manipulated by their fellow believers would rather walk than fight for their beliefs. Okay? We've had, a lot of us in this church grew up, we're going to change the church, and we fought for what we believed, and we're still here, and no one's going to get me out. That's not the case for the next generation. They're not going to fight for their way. If they're not comfortable, if they feel judged, if they don't feel welcomed and accepted, they're just going to walk away. And we have to think about that. I have to keep going. I see the clock, and I'm not doing so well with time, which is unusual for me, those of you that know me, but I feel really passionate about this. Is it possible to reach postmoderns? Absolutely. The text for today, Mark 4:26, if you want to turn to that, talks about how people are reached for the gospel. It says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain. Full grain in the ear. That's what I'm trying to say. When the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. God will not leave this without a witness, and people, though we may not understand how, they will be reached for the gospel. So but there is good farming method that goes in. So what are some good farming methods? There are positive opportunities here, positive ways we can reach into the postmodern culture, and we can share Christ in new ways if we're willing to think and use new language. An example, when I was talking with Bailey Gillespie, he was saying, you know, we talk about church standards. Standards is not something that postmoderns identify with, but making good choices and life-affirming choices is something that postmoderns can absolutely agree with. I want to make good choices in life and not life-denying choices. Are we willing to change our language? It means the same thing. Having good standards, making good choices, very, very similar in meaning. Are we willing to change the wording we use to reach people? Obedience doesn't mean a whole lot, but responsibility does. So when we talk about being responsible in a relationship with God, that means something to the next generation. Let's look at some other opportunities. Here are some cultural opportunities. So over on this side is going to be the postmodern quality, and this is the outreach opportunity. I'm going to have to go kind of fast, but this is the first of a series that I'm doing on reaching postmoderns. The next two will be while the mission trip is away. So next Sabbath is VBS, and then there's two, and then the next one will be a few weeks after that. So you can get the whole one on our website, too, if you're going to miss it for the mission trip or any reason. But please, if you don't do this from listening to me, there are books out there. Search your heart. Search if there's ways we could be more effective for the culture today. So postmoderns have a sense of brokenness. They realize that we need a lot. This is a strength because it's a prerequisite for understanding the gospel. If we don't know that we're broken, we can't accept Christ as our Savior. This is a great place to reach them, to show this Christ that can come in and heal them. They care about authentic relationships. This one is one of the key ones, and we have to be very careful here. You have to be honest. You have to have a relationship with Christ. And they're open to developing these relationships with you, but you have to be authentic. If you are in any way phony, a postmodern can smell it a mile away. There is a loss of personal identity in postmoderns. They're much more about the group, and they feel a little lost with this. Well, what a perfect place to show them a personal Savior who cares about just them. There is a need for community. And this is where I really want this entire church to give itself a pat on the back. Our church is growing in healthy ways because we are good at community. That is one of the main reasons we are growing in healthy ways, is because our church is great at community. And anybody who's come in here has said almost that exact thing, that we're friendly, that we're welcoming, that we're open, that we make friendships, that we grow. And this church is wonderful at reaching postmoderns through community. And I think that is absolutely wonderful. Postmoderns have a toleration of opposites. I know that sounds confusing, but the Bible has some contradicting ideas in it that the modern mindset struggled with. You know, Jesus' divinity versus his humanity. This is not a struggle for the postmodern. They're fine with this divinity-humanity dichotomy. I mean, it works together. And so postmoderns may very well be more open to the mindset of the Bible. Same with the Hebrew poetry and all of that. The storytelling is great for the postmodern. The Bible is written in a way that is very, very much more inclined for the postmodern to be able to read it from beginning to end more than proof texting. The postmodern mind is very, very open to that. And they're very inclusive. So this gives us a chance to give our Seventh-day Adventist message because they're much more open to listening to other ideas than the Christian before who wanted their way to be right. The postmodern mind wants to hear more options and may be very much more willing to listen to the Adventist message. Business as usual is no longer an option. Our church, we will lose our children, we will lose our chance at growth. But getting out there and becoming friends with the secular world and welcoming them into this community is a dangerous thing. And it only works if you have a strong relationship with Christ. I wanted to get more into that, and I won't have the chance. But you need to pray over whether or not God is calling you to be more purposeful and reaching and changing your mindset and changing how you do things. So it's not just proving the Bible, but developing relationships. Are you open to listening to their side? If you come to postmoderns with this idea of, I have something to teach you and you're going to learn from me, they're going to reject you. But if you come with this, let's learn and grow together, they're much more open. However, there's a danger with that you become too open. So you got to seek to know whether or not God is calling you to do this. And if you don't feel that this is something you can do, that your relationship with God needs the fine line, then you need to spend lots of time praying for those who are called to this and recognize the need for the church, even if it's not by you personally. There's two models for ministry. There's the fortress model and the salt model. The fortress model says we stay here and bring those in. And those of you that feel comfortable in that model and don't feel that God is calling you and are really good at bringing people in once they're here, thank you. Please continue to be open. But there's the salt model where you mingle with the food and you mingle with the people and you go out and you become part of their friendship groups and you bring God to them where they're at by being open and friendly. We need you to do that, but we need you to do that in a strong relationship with God so that you don't become so swayed by the secular culture that we lose you to. We must find the balance, and that balance is by being firmly rooted in a relationship with God. I want to do one more time. I want to do a poll at the end. Do you feel that God is calling our church to reach today's culture? I want to know how you feel about that. So once again, text 22333. Yes, 35458. No, 35459. Not sure, 35543. Is God calling our church to reach today's culture? Is it working? Oh, there we go. It's clearly something we need to think about, but I see a strong support that we need to reach today's culture. Strong support. Those of you that aren't sure, I ask you to keep it as a matter of prayer and to be open to discussing it and thinking about it. This is the world we live in. We can't escape it. Are we willing to take Christ in what ways God guides us? Are we willing to do what it takes to take Christ? All right. Very interesting, huh? I think these polls are kind of fun. All right, can you turn it off, Daniel? Thanks. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, your hand has guided through the centuries. And your hand is still guiding. We may not agree with everything that's happening, but we all want to know you more, and we want to know your hand for it. Let us be open to that. Amen.